I'd like to start off by reading Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 25 and 26. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they were scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob, and they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgment upon all those that despise them round about them, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God. I just praise God that God unlocks the secrets of His Word in the time that He's prepared. He's kept the Word sealed and closed about the gay mystery for these many centuries. And today He's beginning to reveal it. Many of you can't understand these things today, but that's okay, because it is just now that this is going forth and these scriptures being revealed. We have a multitude of prophets that teach on the prophecies of the Bible, showing the end times in the lining up of nations and such. But yet there is so much in the Word that is yet to be fulfilled. And God is now revealing these things. He's revealing these things to the church because He first wants this message to go forth before He does a work. He says that He will first tell a thing before He does it, so that His people will know that it is the Lord that's doing it. For the Lord is about to shake the church and to clean it, to take the spots and the wrinkles and the blemishes out of the church, so that the Assemblies of God can love the Mormons, and the Mormons the Assembly of God, and the Catholics. Not just the Catholics who have become charismatic, who love the fundamentalists, the Baptists. And the Baptists who love the Catholics. There are multitudes of denominations. God isn't about to sit there and transform them all into one church that meets any one particular person's view of how things should be. He's not asking us to be perfect so that we can be perfect in doctrine, that we can be perfect in without error in our interpretations of the Word. We're all not going to be able to understand completely this Word. But it is for us to seek it out and through faith understand and let God reveal in His time the things that this Word says. We need the other denominations. We need each of us needs each other. Not because one facet of a denomination comes over to more the other person's line of thinking and then we will love them. So many times you turn on TBN that we get here in Seattle on Channel 20, you hear Paul Crouch talking about, look at all the denominations getting together. You know, it's really, yeah, and I praise God because TBN is really helping to bring this about. But in so many instances, they're just barely beginning to love one another in their same faith, their same belief. And they say, this is loving one another, and it is not loving one another. But when Springfield, headquarters of Assembly of God, will wrap their arms around the church council, or the Worldwide Church Council, or one of the other group of churches that they won't have anything to do with. So many times I've heard them that they're so wrong that they're going to be going to hell. I wonder how many times they went and sat in those churches. Well, I've had opportunities to sit in some of these churches. And maybe I don't like their style. Or maybe I don't believe in some of the things that they believe in. But I've seen Jesus there. I've seen the love of God in their hearts. And they truly love Jesus. Who am I to judge them? If I like the way that they do, I would attend their church regularly. I like the style of another church, so I attend another type of church. It might be along with when I read the Bible, what God's revealing to me and what I understand seems to go along with this batch of people, so I like to go with them. That doesn't mean that I'm absolutely right or they're absolutely right. We'd like to think that we're righter, that we're more on track. But I tell you, we need these other people. Paul Crouch needs to put these other organizations on his station. And I know that the Lord wants them to put gay people on TBN and have their own program on TBN. So many times the Lord has told me this and bared witness through other people that has prophesied the same thing. I know that the day is coming that the TBN Trinity Broadcasting Network based in Santa Ana, California, in the Los Angeles area, that is a nationwide network and even going into worldwide network, is getting very close to the day that they're going to allow gay Christian programming on that network. There's no doubt in my mind that this is about to happen. I know God is dealing with those people that come on that program, on that network. And it's just, I don't know exactly when, I can't tell you the exact date or anything, but I know that day is coming. And people like Paul Crouch, he has all the authority that God's given him to go into these other denominations that we are gulfs apart and start talks. We don't have to agree with him, and we don't have to point out each other's sins. But we have the common base. We love Jesus Christ. I love the songs they sing in Metropolitan Community Church. It has, of course, they will know us by our love, one for another. And that's how the people will know us, by our love. They see we don't love each other. They look at the Christian community and they see that. I can't see how people can sit up there and say that Christians are loving one another. When you look at the Word of God and tell about what Jesus says about love, you find out that if you loved your brother or you loved your friend or you loved your person of your own family or your own little group, what's the difference between that of the non-believers? So they do the same. Jesus says to love your enemies. The irony of this situation is that these other denominations aren't our enemies. They're our brothers and sisters. Let's stop worrying about our differences. It doesn't matter. Let us believe as we will. Let us interpret the Word as God leads us to interpret it. Let's not judge another person's interpretation. This is a wonderful book here. And why people would take it out and say, look at here, these people. See, now I'll show you where these people are. You see these people there? They are over here. I ask you, people that are doing that, the people that have some ungodly hatred of gay people, of course you'll say it's a godly hatred. God said if you hate your brother. I've often written to people and said that you're guilty of 500 million murders because you hate gay people. And you say, oh, I don't hate gay people. I love them. I just hate their sin. You come over the airwaves and you come in from your pulpits and you come in your magazines and you write terrible, terrible, terrible things about gay people. You teach hatred. You teach bigotry. You tell Christians that are gay that they're going to hell That means you're calling Jesus a liar, for one thing. And that means you are judging that person, saying that he's going to hell. And he's not, because he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says that if you hate your brother, you kill him. You're guilty of murder. And if you're hating this in ignorance, don't you think it's time to change? Have you asked yourself why? You base it all on that somebody told you that the Bible says that it's sin. And yet you have not even looked in the Word of God to see that. So you've got these modern translations that says homosexual, so you immediately say, well, see, it's in the Bible. This is the Word of God. This word you can go to, and you can trace it out, and you can find out. You can go past the people that have interpreted, as good as intention as that they might have been when they interpreted. But I tell you, in 1950, what did people know about gay people? No matter how scholarly a theologian may be, or anybody for that matter, in 1950, people did not even have even the remotest understanding of gay people. And they put this in the book. They're the generation that wrote in here. No other Bible did that. It's time not to look at translations to be the Word of God, but to use translations to seek out what God is saying. Because through these translations, we can trace back and find what God is saying. For the most part, these are fantastic books. And they are the Word of God. I do not make them not the Word of God or say they're not. I'm saying that when you read certain scriptures that are trying to depict or describe something in modern terms, of something that happened thousands of years ago, and you have no idea what you're talking about. Now, some of these scholars may have a great deal of understanding of what happened back in Paul's day, or maybe even what was going back in the days that Sardis was in existence. But they have no idea what gay people are. They say the Sodom account, a group of, they say men, but if you look at the words and you look up the study that the Hebrew of it, and it says men as talking about human beings, and from all quarters, from every kind of facet of the situation. And they came in, and if you look at the understanding of it, the way they get that they wanted to rape them or something like that, so they got to know. But if you look at the word of what that means in it, you will find out that they want to brutally harm them, to break them in pieces. I mean, if you don't believe me, just get a Hebrew dictionary. And I'm not talking about one that was printed 10, 15, 20 years ago. I'm talking one that is an authentic Hebrew dictionary. You can even use the Strong's Concordance, and you'll come up with the same thing what I'm telling you right now. Now, you could go through the entire Bible, and it will pretty much bear witness to it. There's one place that indicates that there was sexual immorality back in the days of Sodom, and that's in Jude. It doesn't describe it as male sexual immorality, male and male. But one thing that's a fact, the people of Sodom knew that those angels came in here, and the angels had the intent of destroying their city. And if it were a place in that they really actually sought to have a sexual relationship, which they might have indeed, I don't have no problems about that. That's one of the best ways to humiliate a person that you can possibly do in those days. But you're talking about a large number of people raping and murdering two people I have yet to see one gay bar or one gay church or one gay or resource center or agent or any place where a group of gay people get together and they plan out who they're going to go murder. Now, as gay Christians, or even as gay people, we look at the anti-gay church, who they want to kill us. They want to destroy us. And we're not meeting to go and destroy them. We're meeting to go to them and say, we are people. We love you. You are our brothers and our sisters in Christ Jesus. Jesus is our Lord. He is head of our life. We have this in common. Please hear me, you that are against gay people. I tell you something. I tell you a truth that you're going to see this come, and you're going to see what the love of Jesus Christ truly means. We have every reason to hate you. We have every reason to kill you. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You have declared war on us, and if we went up and took arms to fight in a war that you have instigated against us, we would win. But I tell you, we're coming in love. The world is going to see what the love of Jesus Christ is all about. Because those that have persecuted us, those that have tormented us, those that have slaughtered us, those that have taught our parents to hate us, those that says that Jesus hates us, that God hates us, those that say we could not have eternal life, we will come with our arms open and with love. And these words may just sound like words, but that day is drawing very close. We may scream and we may argue. We may even come in like Jesus came into the temple and overturned some money tables. You may look at your church and say, oh, that is really sanctified and holy, and God would never let that happen. But I tell you something. The church of God is in the hearts of men, not in buildings. And I tell you something else. When you might be preaching against gay people, or when you might be doing your service and you think that, you know, you feel the presence of God, you see the move of the Holy Spirit, and you say, well, see, Jesus is here, and His presence is here. That's confirmation. It's not confirmation at all. It's time for you to start realizing Jesus promised to be there. He says any time that there's two or more gathered in His name, He will be in the midst. He didn't say that there's conditions on what you're talking about in Him. He's not saying that whether you're out about judging people. He says if you're gathered in His name, and you shouldn't be judging people, but He promised to be there. That is, He said that He would be there. So you would sense His presence. But He sees your righteousness, and they look like filthy rags to Him. As long as that you're persecuting and condemning the people, as long as you're judging the people. I tell you, you may think that inside your church buildings you are safe and you are immune, but you're not. Jesus knows where you are. There's many gays that are sitting out in your pews today. Perhaps they don't like the gay church. But they like the church that they're in. I like the Pentecostal type of atmosphere. I like to be able to worship God in spiritual songs and to sing in tongues and to pray in tongues and have the service of Pentecostal rejoice. Now the gay churches today do not have that. But this is changing. You see, for a season, there are some deep roots that have this type of atmosphere in there. Now, as Pentecostals know, when Pentecostals start getting to moving, and God's getting to moving on Pentecostals, things start happening. And I said in earlier programs that God grafted back, or is grafting back, the gay people to his body. And he did that about 16 years ago. And he's bringing dignity to the church that is gay. Through the Metropolitan Community Church, through Dignity, through Grace Gospel Chapel, and through many other gay churches or offshoots from denominations. But there really aren't any Pentecostal churches as such. There's a reason for that. The Pentecostals are there, many of them. But these churches aren't really set up to do this, and the Pentecostals have kind of been laying back. But I can tell you, 1985 was the year that Pentecostal gay people stopped laying back, and they began to be moved by the Holy Spirit to stand up on their faith, to bring a nation and a world to the knowledge that gay people love Jesus Christ and are part of the Church of Jesus Christ. And they have the power that any Pentecostal church boasts of. And they have the faith to move mountains, for there is no faith. Six months ago, even 3 months ago, 8 months ago, my ministry didn't exist officially. I knew I was called, but I had no idea that I would be ever preaching on television. But God moved upon me and put a desire in my heart to bring this message forth to you and to the world. And the things that are about to come upon this land are going to be wonderful things of God. Great healings are going to flow forth. And, you know, you guys that believe that gays are sin, you people, you're not going to change because I tell you that you're wrong. Some people change because they find out their son or their daughter's gay. And they have to look at it because that's really a traumatic experience. There's things that I've learned that God has revealed to me that people don't change unless that something comes and really shakes up their life. When they have something going for them that they kind of like, they're not going to just change because they want to. And many Christians out there, they would believe they would go to hell if they changed their belief about gay people. And it must be just about a paranoia with them because they really have to man preach against gay people. That's beside the point. There's going to be such a shaking in people's lives because they're not going to change because somebody like me might tell you, hey, you're wrong. You know, we're people. We love Jesus. We are saved. You're not going to believe us. You're going to go back to your word and say, hey, my pastor told me that this word over here meant the gay is sin. Nothing you can say can ever change that. Nothing I can say can change that. But God is about to shake you. God is going to shake the churches. You're going to hear on the news. You're going to hear reported time and time again things happening in the church. The church is going to be on TV, even to the point that the unbelievers are going to say, aha, see, where is your God? These days are coming, and they're going to be coming before the Lord comes back, and we're going to be here. This is going to happen to prepare the church. It'll almost look like God is forsaking the church, but he's not. He comes in his love, but he's going to come with the rod of correction. And this is prophesied in this word. So hear the word of the Lord. Hear what he's saying. Listen to him. Because the day is at hand. This final revival is going to come in by shaking. Throughout all history, God has shown that men has always turned away from God and rejected him when he came. Many Christians today think, boy, they're right on track, man, and they're really bringing the kingdom of God in. You're going to be in for a rude awakening. The revival they're preaching. They're preaching it. They're prophesizing the same thing I'm prophesizing. But they think it's going to be a magic revival. It's not going to be a magic revival. We're going to see the very elements, thunderings, lightning, earthquakes. When you hear of earthquakes, when Jesus predicted earthquakes and these things that are going to happen in towards the end time, they're not going to be accidents. They're not coincidentally happen. They're going to be directed at 10 points. And they're going to get clearer and clearer and clearer pointed at the direct chastisement towards the church. The walls of the church is all going to open up. Praise God, he's preparing a people that's going to be going to help those people that are not prepared today for the shakings that are going to come. I'd like to ask those of you that do not know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior to take time now and ask him to save you, ask him to forgive you of your sins. Just simply say, Jesus, forgive me, I'm a sinner, and come into my heart and save me. Realizing that Jesus died on the cross and paid the price of your sin, that you may have eternal life, for he loves you so much. And he rose the third day, and now is at the side of his Father in heaven. Those of you wishing to write a call, please feel free to do that. I'd like to hear from you. Thank you for watching and tuning in.